us at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales Presents, a curated actual play 5e Dungeons & Dragons game set in the world of the monthly subscription service Dungeon in a Box. This is the first episode of the final game of the Caravan of Peril. So come on in, grab a seat by the bar as we present this very special limited series.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Welcome to Game 3 of Dungeon in a Box. This is the final game of the Caravan of Peril, a Dungeon in a Box and Tavern Tales limited series. I'm Kyle, I'm the Dungeon Master and host of Tavern Tales. Who have I got around the table with me today?
I'm Marie Claire, and I am playing Nem, the Wood Elf Paladin.
I am Carrie Bauer. I am playing Alin, the Dark Elf Druid.
And I'm David, and I'm playing Torin, the Human Ranger.
I'll begin. So the guards finally did some work. They woke up an owlbear that was sleeping by the side of the road. While it was still trying to wake up, they decided to attack it. And just before all of them died, they were able to put it down. It was disappointing that none of them died, though. I thought one of them had, but she was just sick, in quotation marks, for almost a week in the gnome's wagon. The rain was really bad. It rained all the time. One of the wagons almost crashed, but the guards saved it, even though the wagoneer probably deserved to crash. Then we forded the river. I hoped one of the guards would get washed away, but they ferried all of the wagons across without mishap. The guards made a deal with some elves that shot my wagon, and then Nem said,
"Good riddance."
And now let us peek into the adventure itself, as the party has crossed the river and now proceed into what appears to be very ominous and depressing forest, and the rain continues to fall. But back at the start, the glimmerberry bush and a pixie flittering around it protectively that has recently given up all of his ripe glimmerberries to pass on to the group for the creation of a healing potion, does not seem to be protecting his bush any longer. Does not seem to be back there at the start of this adventure. So let's peek into the gnome's wagon itself as a makeshift cage and a very quiet dark elf are having a little conversation with...
Are you gonna fucking let me out of this thing or what?
You were the one that was following us. Why should I let you out?
Damn right! Look, I gave up too many of the berries. There aren't enough for it to sustain itself for another year, and I wanted to plant another, so just... I just wanted you to give one back. But no, you lures me and tricks me into this big, ugly cave.
I'm not sure I lured and or tricked you at all. I believe you were infatuated with golden hair.
It's nice, and... You can see that Fifrud's braid is at the bottom of the cage. It is no longer worn as a very scratchy scarf. It looks as though the pixie has hives from dwarven hair that have generated and slowly dissipated. In the last 8 days, Alin, you and the pixie have been brokering an arrangement quietly, secretively because you're unsure if your party members would be willing to accept essentially the enslavement of this poor pixie, because currently he's a prisoner.
That's unfortunate. It's not the intention of Alin to have him as a slave and or forced confinement.
You're just working steadily at persuading him to your side and to your cause.
He's very excitable, so obviously we're trying to maintain calm, which is why I'm quiet and trying to be relaxed to getting him to engage in conversation regarding what he'd like other than a berry.
By the end of the eighth day, you've worn Peony down. He's got Stockholm Syndrome and has decided that you are the power person in the relationship. And has elected to join the party as your companion / lover.
No! He is quite cute. Should I give you this little
Sticky drawing?
Yeah, I drew a drawing of Peony.
He's pretty cute. And yeah, the hair that you've got around him is quite lovely. It's unfortunate that he doesn't like it anymore and it's at the bottom of the cage. He's become a companion, so does that mean...
You can direct his actions.
That's what I was going to say. I would prefer him to be not in a cage. I would let him go and he enjoys freedom and comes back and chats in my ear somewhat incessantly.
Okay. Yeah. He hangs out with you, hangs on your shoulder, either or, and flits about, and you have rejoined the party after having... basically tamed a wild pixie.
Alin, it's so good to see that you're feeling better.
Thanks, Nim. It's nice to be up and about. It's hard to be confined in the back of a cage.
Welcome back.
Thank you. What transpired while I was getting healthy?
I have to say, the mating rituals of the elves in this area do not involve cake. It's very disappointing.
No cake?
Not at all.
What? Since when do elves not give cake?
Apparently these barbaric elves in this area don't involve cake.
That's unfortunate because cake is lovely.
Also, I'm sorry to say, but Torin almost killed us.
And how did that transpire? I'm glad that we are alive, so yay.
There was an owlbear, and it was coming toward the caravan, and it looked as if it were going to attack. As guards of the caravan, I assumed that this would be our responsibility to deal with, as... again, it looked as if it was going to attack, and I waited to the last moment and then shot it with an arrow.
Which infuriated it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. All right. That's fair. Nobody likes to get shot with an arrow.
No, I don't like it particularly either.
Well, I'm glad that you came out of it alive and we're on our way. Where are we headed now?
Yeah. Where are we headed?
What's that?
What's what?
What's that?
Huh?
Is that the pixie?
That is the pixie. Oh, did I not? This is Peony. He's going to be joining our party. He decided to come along for the last little 8 days, and he's now free, and he will be our companion.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. She's a better ranger than you are. I assume. Do you have animal handling?
I'm not an animal.
No, he's not.
No.
Except in the sack.
Well, the berries have to come from somewhere.
Like a beaver felling trees.
Well, as we are protecting a caravan, where is the caravan heading to now?
Into a deep and dark forest.
Which is great, because that's my natural explorer.
Cool. Welcome, small Peony. You are short of stature, but loud of mouth.
And mighty in the fighting.
I assume as much. Welcome. And I'll leave my little, like, finger to shake his hand.
He just points at you as well.
And I do two finger guns. Pew, 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 pew. Does he do that back?
No, he doesn't finger gun you back.
I just nod.
Everybody accepts Peony.
He joins the ragtag group of guards, and you proceed into the forest.
As a guard? Wow, okay.
He joins the guards. He's not getting paid.
Okay.
I'm going to continue my spot along the right side of the wagon train halfway through.
I'll continue on the near the front of the train on the left.
Fifrud takes his stationary normal place, sitting on the top of Findel's wagon.
And I will go exploring in the front into the deep, dark, mysterious forest.
Because you have Peony, you have advantage on any perception checks that you might be making out there in the woods. And David, while you're up there next to Arul Hanna's wagon, he likes to have a bit of a conversation with you since you're walking there, but it does take several hours before he opens his mouth. He's not a talkative individual, but he does say things like,
it's right around here The rumors of a lost royal shipment also happened. So keep your eyes peeled. This here is Tanglebriar Forest, and it is the untamed, primeval heart of the Greenwald. Long ago, it was also the center of an ancient elven empire, till they brought a great curse down upon themselves.
What curse is it they brought upon themselves?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that. I'm not a historian or a reader of many books. And the exact nature of their crime and the curse itself has been forgotten. But if you talk to a bard, you get a different answer every bard you talk to. What is indisputable is that that empire was reduced to a few scattered ruins, and the Tanglebriar is overrun by evil creatures. Few who venture into this forest depths ever return again. So it is a dangerous place we go to now. My understanding is that good folk stay as far away from the Tanglebriar as they can. It's the exception of those damned elves we encountered recently, who call it home.
Most people want to stay along the path.
If indeed there's much of one.
And as you can see, you're making your way through a pretty tangled bit of forest. There isn't much of a path. He says,
a few days ride hard to the south is a better trail, but it's too hard to get to that trail through the forest. And the river is too swollen in order to move along its embankment. So keep an eye.
Will do. Scouting.
Do I hear any of this? From where I'm walking?
Sure, why not? You could have worked your way forward as well as you heard Arwul begin to speak. He's not one to talk too often. Alin, you might not be too far into the woods to hear this tune. You could tune into what Arwul is saying.
Does this feel like something that would be picked up on Divine Sense if we were to pass it?
What? Cursor?
Yeah.
No, you get the feeling that it's ancient and the curse was upon that elven empire for something that had been wrought. And it might not even have been a curse. It might have just been a downfall of that empire.
It says strong evil registers in your senses. So,
but nonetheless, you proceed much more cautiously and much more warily from there on.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next several days, things seem to go very smoothly, although it is a rough going through the woods and through the tangles. But, I mean, it does look like potentially a caravan or a road was here a long, long time ago. So it's not too hard. It's a lot of new growth, small new growth that you're working your way through. None of the wagons get trapped or knocked down. Most of the nights, though, you have to stay to where you are. You basically just stop, create a fire in a centralized area, and go from there. Your guard shifts on the third night. Nothing seems to be untoward. But in the morning, you see one of the wagoneers approach Arwul Hanna for a quiet word. And when that quiet word is done, Arwul signals to all of you with a unhappy expression on his face.
This must be the storyteller.
What?
The bored storyteller who keeps talking about the guards. I think he's upset with us. It might be the same caravaner.
I will approach.
I will follow.
Alin and Torin are coming along.
Yep.
The three of you wander over. Fafrud seems to be resting still. He's still out like a light. And the three of you walk over and Arwul says, you brought a bug to Alin?
Yes. Do you have a problem with that?
Oh, no. Whatever. If it helps you be a better guard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So none of you saw nothing last night, or don't doubt you would have talked to me about it.
What's the issue?
Right, so none of you saw anything last night, right?
It seemed quiet last night.
I agreed. Things were nominal.
Right, well, one of the wagoneers has just informed me that his belt pouch was stolen. And it's not a normal-looking belt pouch. It's this green furred belt pouch with two silver bells on it.
What is the significance of the belt pouch?
Why, he tells it had over 50 gold in it. And it's been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
How does he know it's been stolen?
Well, it's not where he left it, and that's what he said.
But it could have fallen, perhaps.
Right.
Okay.
It's just missing.
Well, it feels like you're coloring things. So as to lighten any load, it is your guardly duty to ensure that the wagoneers are all situated and properly attended. But none of you saw nothing last night.
No.
Can we speak with this victim?
I don't see why you couldn't.
Okay. Seems like the most appropriate step is to understand what he heard and saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we do in our... We also occasionally need to beat the victim to ensure that we get the right answers where I'm from.
I would just like to confirm his story.
Oh, okay. So we don't beat people here? No? All right.
I would just like to confirm the story of what he perceives to
be missing. Well, I've never been involved in those beatings, but I've heard of them.
You've heard of them. Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're here mainly to make sure that the caravan gets where it's going. I don't believe that we were engaged to protect what's inside each personal belongings of the caravan.
I think that's, safety of merchandise and property is 5/10 of the law, etc. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's lucky that the caravan did not float away, I believe, not that long ago.
Let's go speak with him.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Now, you guys have already determined one of the 8 wagons is filled with pilgrims on pilgrimage. Do you remember what wagon that one was?
No.
All right, well then let's say that's the 6th wagon.
I was thinking
because I think that's what it actually was. So it's the pilgrims wagon. And is there any other wagons that you've already determined?
There's the 2 brothers with the fabrics in wagon 2.
So we have a few wagons left. Neither of those wagons seem to be the individual who is put upon with his lost belt pouch. Roll a d6, all of you, as you approach the 5th wagon in the train.
1, 5, 3.
What you have rolled on the caravan wagon types chart is a personage on a quest. This individual happens to be an entitled aristocratic youth who is touring distant land holdings at his father's request and cannot wait to get back to real society. And you have determined right away from speaking to this individual that he is outgoing and oversharey. He kills time by drinking, gaming, swapping stories, and his wagon is perpetually open to all comers. It's the party wagon in number 5.
It's the shaggin' wagon.
And Carrie, what is his name?
Ralph Von Worcestershire.
Ralph Von Worcestershire.
Ralph Von Worcestershire.
RV Dub.
It's what's monogrammed on all of his clothes.
You approach his wagon. There are many bottles of alcohol in this wagon. There are comfy chairs in the wagon itself. It's got a canvas top. Would normally be open to the environment, but of course with all of this rain, it's been closed off. And he's got incense burning inside and a really beautiful lute sitting in a corner. And he's wearing a silver threaded jerkin that glimmers in the lantern light and a pair of brown leather breeches that he's ensured to tell people they are, I think it's Atia, whatever the cattle of the Underdark is. That's what it's made from. He has calf-high boots that are supple and very, very nice. So if you can picture him, he also happens to have silver hair tied back in a ponytail, and he looks to be half-elven.
I sniff the air of the incense. What does it smell like?
Cinnamon and nutmeg and offal.
Nem sniffs the air oddly.
I second the sniff of the air. It smells like there's something special in this incense.
I compliment him on his boots.
You approach. He's sitting in a beanbag chair, looking petulant. And he says as you approach, No. The party wagon is closed today. I'm just overcome.
Aw, what happened?
I've already spoken to the caravan master. I don't wish to discuss it further. He said that the guards would take care of it.
We are the guards. We're coming to hear your side of the story. Please share.
What?
Well,
you're the guards?
Yes.
None of you are wearing good armor or carrying proper weapons. Like the guards and my family's estates all wear immaculate breastplates. I can see my face in them. My glorious, beautiful face. This is just... Well, come in then. Come in.
Thanks! And I come right in.
Why are your boots still on? You're tracking mud all over. My Chultian mahogany, it's been carted in from faraway lands. This is very pricey wood.
I scrape my boots off at the door and then take them off.
I can't even.
I just hitch on the back steps, not actually entering the caravan.
Sure.
This is such a nice wagon.
What's Torin doing?
I will take off my boots and join Nem in the wagon, knowing that Alin is keeping watch on things.
Excellent.
And complimenting on his boots.
Oh, yes. Well, they were a gift. And it's how I know she loves me. She gives me nice things.
So you're married?
Right. Yes, of course. Yes. I mean, whatever. Penelope is back home and I get to go on this tour. So I'm the lucky one.
What is your quest?
Father has told me to extend out into Greyhaven, more like Gloomhaven. Am I right?
I get that reference.
And I need to go and speak with the Academy of Mages to discuss the tutors that they've sent to our lands and their quality of tutelage. But whatever. Would anyone like a drink?
Yes, please.
He pours you a dram of a burnt amber colored liquid that smells vile, but tastes like hickory and chestnuts.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
Great. Make a constitution saving throw.
Excellent.
DC 4, so I'm not looking for mud. You're not getting drunk right away.
6.
Wow. Thankfully, you do not succumb to the first dram of the alcohol. However, your third or fourth, you would start to see some repercussions to your
this
constitution.
Tastes wonder.
I know, right? My darling wife, Penelope, whatever. Her family makes this particular liqueur. And he goes on about the liqueur for quite some time, offering both Torin and Alin a dram of it.
Yes, please.
Why not?
You make your DC checks and Peony's like, you got any small glasses? And Ralph's like, what are you? And then Peony and Ralph have this lengthy conversation that lasts about 3 minutes as they both compliment themselves and insult each other and seem to get on and become the best of friends. But rather than have a conversation with myself, because that's always fun to listen to, we will just skip that and you guys can make your constitution checks on this sweet.
Do I have to make a new one?
If you're having more, yes.
Yeah, I'm totally
the
having
difficulty
more.
Difficulty goes up over time. So
cool.
I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
The roll plus
your constitution modifier, yes. I think you're fine as well.
18.
As
well. 19.
Yeah, everybody's in great shape. Oh, it's just a first drink. And eventually pleasantries are put aside and gaming dice are brought out that he then expands upon at length about how long they've been in the family and how fortunes have been won and lost with the use of these dice. But he's unfortunately unable to gamble at all with you because his belt pouch was stolen last night, which is no doubt why you are here.
Yeah, we'd like to hear the story of how that got misplaced or stolen or...
Perfect, yes. So every night I put my belt pouch under my beanbag chair. And when I woke up this morning, it wasn't there.
And you do this religiously every night?
What do you mean? Like,
always
with prayer?
Well, maybe.
No, I don't know. Like, what do you mean, religion? Like, regularly? That's a thing I do. Yeah, I'd gladly put my belt pouch under wherever I'm going to slumber. It's not that it leaves my belt otherwise. And it's got those nice bells on it. They tinkle ever so gladly whenever I move. And if it were to have fallen or been taken, then the bells would have sounded and I would have heard them.
So how come you didn't hear the bells last night?
Because somebody stole it.
But you just said if it was taken, you would have heard the bells.
Well, I don't know what you're getting at.
Who was over here last night?
It is the party wagon.
The brothers were here for a little while and then they had a fight. So that was awkward. And they left. And a couple of the pilgrims were here, but they're all so poor and none of them are very good looking, so they left early, thankfully. And then there were a couple of other of the normal regulars that have been coming pretty frequently. And then I remember this tiefling from Wagon 7 came, and...
Huh. Who's your regulars that come?
Right. Well, you know, everyone in Wagon 3 usually comes over, and it's a nice party then.
You said tiefling from Wagon 7 came?
Yes.
Can you describe him or what were you guys doing?
Great. All three of you roll a d6, please.
Six.
Three.
So, like, he or she, I can never tell with tieflings, says to everyone that they deal in goods of a magical nature and sells crystal balls and blank scrolls and incense. That's where I got this nice one that I've got burning right now. It's quite lovely, don't you think?
It's really nice.
Cinnamon, nutmeg, and it goes so well. What's the name of that alcohol you're drinking, David?
The stuff he gave to me? Brandis.
Brandis. That's a good name.
That's awesome.
He's the one that sold me the incense that goes so well with the Brandis you're drinking. And he sells exotic quills and ink and, most specially and interestingly, preserved monster bits for spell casting.
Ooh, of course.
You have all encountered this tiefling.
Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yes. You've encountered this tiefling several times over the course of your 12 days because this person is also outgoing and over-sherry.
What's his name?
His or her name? Why don't you tell me, Marie Claire?
Ray.
R-A-E?
R-A-E-H.
What color is this tiefling? What do they look like?
This tiefling is purple with black as night eyes.
Great. In wagon 7.
I will be listening from now on for sounds of bells as an additional thing.
That's so nice of you to say that, guard person. Thank you. Of course, if my belt pouch is returned with all of the money intact, you're welcome to 10% of the money therein. Of course, as long as the offending party is caught. And if the money is gone, well, I'm sure I can fish something together for a just reward. That belt pouch means so much to me.
Was it a gift from somebody?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was out with my wife, Penelope, like I said, and we were shopping, and I noticed the belt pouch and said, "Does that not look magnificent with my eyes?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "I think I'm going to buy it." And she said, "No, no, let me buy it as a gift to you." And I said, "No, I have to buy it for myself, but I'll tell everyone it was a gift from you." And she said, "That sounds fine." So that's what we did.
That's how you get what you wanted.
Exactly.
Right? It's good that you have ownership over what you like.
The best gift is the one you get yourself. I've always said that. That's a direct quote from RVW.
What, other than that it goes with your eyes, stood out to you about this pouch?
Does it have a fancy lining?
Yes, the lining is this slate gray ermine. It's just lovely. The coins don't tinkle and make a loud ruckus when you're walking about so that everyone knows you've got like a ton of money, like I do.
That seems important. I don't know what that's like, but seems important.
All right. Well, unless everyone's having a few more drinks, maybe you should go and like find my bag or whatever.
We will keep an eye out for it.
Thank you, guards. And he, like, waves at you to, like, scatter.
Thanks for the drink. Would you like Peony to stay and keep you company?
Sorry, who is Peony?
The little dude you were talking to earlier.
Oh, little dude. Right. Yeah, of course, if he wants to drink the day away, then we can do that together, of course. If he has any money, I'll gladly gamble and play games of chance. Peony's like, but do I have to?
No, I was just curious if you wanted to.
Oh, good. This guy's a fucking idiot.
All right, let's go outside and introduce ourselves to other wagons.
Well, we should
find... Hell calls themselves by their fucking initials. Then you just call me P.
Hey, P.
Hey, P.
All right, let's go find this tiefling person.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, little pixie.
All right, we exit wagon. Make our way backwards to wagon 7?
Sure, yeah. Stay where you are. The wagon proceeds forward. Make your way out. Fifrude's watching for anything on the Tanglebriar Forest. As you knock on the door of the 7th wagon. I don't know, what is it called? There's some branding on the wagon, Marie Claire, for Ray the Tiefling's services. What is it called?
Ray's Meats.
Okay.
No, wait, he's magic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ray's Magical Stuff.
Ray answers the door.
Ray!
He opens it with a almost like an entertainer or magician's style wave with an ushering hand to beckon you into his caravan. There are a few little holes and tears in the fabric of his covering, so there are a few wet spots and puddles and some buckets that are holding some of the water that's dripping in. And he beckons the door and he says,
"Assalam to you all. Welcome to Ray's Wagon of Magical Goods. Please come in. It is a gracious and most welcoming pleasure of mine to offer you a seat and an opportunity to browse my wares on this, our lengthy travel to Greyhaven."
You seem wonderful.
Why, thank you, Caravan Guard Nem.
You know my name?
Oh, indeed.
That's so nice.
I have chatted with Fifroot several nights along the journey here and know all of your names and a few interesting tidbits about you that Fifroot has passed on to me.
Chatty little dwarf.
Please consider me a dear, dear friend and purveyor of many extremely valuable and useful things.
I'm going to give him a hug.
Oh, he is very shocked and surprised by that and returns the hug vociferously.
Do you also like books, like Fifroot and I?
Sorry, no, I am not an insect fan.
Books?
Oh, well, they are a very valuable commodity. I am not so much a reader, as you may know or detect from all of the things I have in my place of business.
Sorry, what is this thing over in the corner here? It looks kind of like a inside out pillow?
Yes, you're right. It is an inside out pillow.
What's in it?
Well, the outside of a pillow for one.
Mm-hmm.
And for another, it is filled with
dried flowers. It's potpourri.
Sure.
It is filled with the effervescent fat of the magical hippopotamus from the Chultian lands. I acquired it from RVW several days ago in a well-won game of chance.
So you guys gamble frequently?
Every night I am over at RVW's, for as long as you are gambling, he will freely pour the liquor. And who doesn't like to get a little drunk on a long caravan journey like this?
You will all note that Ray's wagon was the one you saved from the sliding down the hill fiasco.
I would offer you all a seat, but unfortunately, there are not very many places that are dry at this stage of the game. Who would have thought that it would rain as much as it has for this journey?
That's okay. I will stand. We will browse a little bit further. So I walk further into the caravan and turns around and checks the corner out.
I'm sorry. Gardelin, there is something flitting around on your shoulder. It is a little boo, is it not?
Ah, it is. Ray, meet Peony. Peony, meet Ray.
Peony! You are a pixie, yes, no?
And Peony's like,
fuck you! I don't truck with tieflings!
Sorry. He's adjusting to being around different species.
That is fine. I know for a fact that little Peony and I shall become the best of friends.
Well, I am glad.
We'll see about that.
Could you describe anything different last night about gambling? Was there anything outstanding or sad or
yes,
a scuffle?
RVW did very poorly last night. In fact, so poorly that he lost a pretty penny. And he got very drunk. Drunker than usual, if I recall.
Did the pouch happen to be lost with the pretty penny?
No, he sold that to me several days ago, the inside out pillow.
Okay.
What pouch do you refer?
One with little tiny silver bells.
Oh, the fancy pouch. No, he does not ever take that from his belt that I have seen. He always wears it and it tinkles whenever he gyrates his hips when the dancing begins.
Shagging wagon. So you haven't seen it. Did you see it yesterday?
Indeed. It was about his waist as we settled into the gambling late into the night.
I heard the brothers had a fight. What transpired there?
Oh yes, the brothers. I had a bit of a falling out with them several nights ago. I do not speak to them at all.
Well, what happened?
They are jerks.
Fair.
Torin, can I get a perception check from you?
21.
So, Torin, you're pretty sure that Peony just took something off of one of the countertops. You don't know what it was, but there's something missing from one of the countertops. That's what you noticed.
You're saying I noticed him take something?
You don't know what it was. Peony was over by a countertop. You looked over there. There was a few items on it. Now there's a few items, less one, on the countertop.
What general items are on the countertop in that area?
Glass vials, a mortar and pestle made of marble, a couple small knives.
He's a pixie. He doesn't have pockets, per se. Probably wouldn't
be. He has his magical pocket.
Peony, what did you just take from the counter?
In that process, Peony immediately flits to Alin's shoulder, and Ray then says, "Sorry, what? What is this?" And Peony hides in Alin's hair.
I saw something. Something has gone from the counter.
You have found a little thief in my caravan wagon?
Hold on a sec. Let me just chat with Peony.
You feel something slide down your back into your shirt. You're jerking. And Peony comes forward and says,
"I ain't got nothing. I didn't take nothing."
Care to empty your pockets?
Who are you to tell me what to do, big one?
I saw you take something.
I saw you did not take what?
Peony, just calm down. Show him your pockets.
Fine.
I know.
And he winks at you. He starts like patting himself down and flipping you off indiscreetly while doing so.
See, I ain't got... Oh, well, he's got this.
And he pulls out like a little ceremonial dagger, which he had in a sheath in his towards his back sort of thing. But it's really small.
Is he still wearing Fifrud's hair?
No. He is not wearing Fifrud's hair at all.
Okay.
He does have a single strand of Alin's hair tied around his bicep.
Mm.
Aww. Oh, isn't that nice? Like he's like my little hero.
I'm
my
sorry, mind. Peony. I must have not seen something. Something.
Right. Don't worry about it. We're on a hunt to see and gather information.
This is what being a guard is all about. Constant and eternal vigilance. Yes, no?
Yeah.
Well then, since it does not appear that anything has been taken from my countertop that I can determine, is there anything I can do or sell to you, our stalwart guards upon the caravan?
These inks, do they have magical qualities?
For he who speaks and writes with magic, yes indeed they do. But for those who do not, they are but normal potted inks. This one, though, is an indigo blue in a very, very beautiful gemstone pot. You may, of course, examine and interest. If interested, you may write a sentence or two to see if the ink color and quality is sufficient to your needs.
Okay, I write a sentence.
He pulls out some sample vellum and a quill, unless you've got your own on hand.
Which I do.
He offers you a quill, you wave him away and write out a sentence. And it's really beautiful. It's a bright, vibrant blue, not one you're used to seeing.
And for you, caravan guard, an express deal. I will offer this to you for but 50 silver pieces.
How much silver per one gold?
There's 10 silver to a gold.
So that's 5 gold pieces.
Indeed. Well, you're a scholar. You're a sage. You could do a quick appraisal on this since you're used to that sort of thing. You can give me a d20 roll to determine if you think that value is high enough.
11.
You are pretty sure that the large pot of ink that is there would sell for 10 gold because of the pot's value as a gemstone plus the color. So he's giving you a really good deal.
All right.
So even if you don't even use it and you just resell it when you get to Greyhaven.
I will get some ink.
Great.
Thank you.
For you, dear guard, I am very thankful.
Alin is looking around the caravan. What else for wares are there?
Oh, it's chock full. The thing is packed. There actually isn't much of a place to sit because there's so much stuff for sale there.
At this time, I would just bow and say thank you very much for showing me your wares. I will probably be back to take another perusal later. There's nothing I see right now that's outstanding. I believe I will take my leave and go visit the brothers.
Indeed. Thank you so much for journeying all the way down to wagon number 7, Ray's Magical Stuff. That was not the title that I wanted to have, I will let you know. However, that is what they branded on the damnable wagon, and it is what I am stuck with.
I'm very sorry for that. The brothers are on wagon 5?
2.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you for the ink.
Indeed. A pleasure doing business with you.
Nem grabs him very softly on the shirt and says, I'm going to miss you. And then leaves.
He is left shaken, not stirred, and worries for his future, believing potentially that this Elven Lass reads futures and his time grows short.
We're friends.
You step out into the rain and Peony hides in your hair to get out of the wet. The three of you step out and the wagons continue to proceed and you're on the trail.
Can I check in with Fifrud just because we're close to the last wagon?
Fifrud has moved up to be with Arul Hen at the front of the wagon.
Oh.
Because it would be really dumb to be the only guard that's currently watching and be at the very back.
Yep.
So Fifrud is up at the front. You can check in with him if you'd like to.
We have to go to the
second
wagon. We
have to go to the front anyway, pretty much, don't we?
You're all pretty sure that you saw movement on the side of the wagon deep in the trees. But what it was, you're not too sure, but there's something out there that moved, and all three of you saw it.
What was that?
Let's find out.
All right, let's go look at the movement.
Sure. You duck out of the trees into the rain. Heavy, wet splashes fall from laden bows as you maneuver your way through the dense underbrush to where you think you saw movement. And in fact, you do find some footprints leading and walking alongside the caravan itself.
What kind of footprints?
You may have to roll a survival check to figure that out.
I'd like to use inspiration.
Erase your inspiration mark and roll with advantage.
19.
So with your 19, you have determined that those are goblinoid footprints. Just one goblin. And seems to have trailed or is walking along and tracking the caravan for some time now.
I would suggest a fan out. We don't want to all three go clomping along in the woods that are not very easily maneuverable.
And you already have clomped
yeah,
out here to where
totally
you are.
Did. Yeah, which is not stealthy and or guard-like.
You don't see any sign of the goblin. You do see where the goblin was walking and you see a few footsteps down along with the caravan. Caravan is starting to quickly get its way away from you. As you were in the seventh and you laterally moved out to check on this figure that had moved in the distance.
Do we have anything that can see through invisibility?
I only have night vision.
I suspect that this goblin might be invisible.
I could speak goblin, but if we can't see him, it just might scare him off.
Could that be what stole the pouch?
That's possible.
Some sort of goblin thief.
But if he's following
I don't know enough about caravan. Goblins. What do they look like?
Can I get some investigation checks from the group? As I don't doubt that you're looking around and checking for footprints and whatnot. Now that you've determined that these footsteps are goblinoid, give me an investigation check to see if you can see anything further about what's going on.
16.
22.
How did you get a 22?
I rolled 20 plus the investigation proficiency bonus 2.
Alin, did you beat that?
No.
I did not.
13.
Alin, you see where the footprints come from, but not where they go to. Now, you see a few feet ahead, but it looks like the goblin heard you tromping and took off in a much more spry fashion. However, Torin, you quickly and easily deduce that the goblinoid has jumped over to a nature trail where deer or a fox run sort of thing. And the footprints quickly disappear. And you're not too sure if they've just taken great steps and pains to move along this trail in the rain without... And I've seen Manhunter a lot. So I know that if it's raining, Manhunter can find you, but you're not capable of finding him here because he's either hiding in the underbrush or he's scampered which one of the two different directions down the trail and has done so light of foot that you are unable to track which way he went. But you have found this fox run, which seems to run quite the distance alongside the caravan trail.
We, all three of us, can't stay away from the caravan for very long. What would you guys, do you think this is a realistic threat? He's been following for some time, it seems. What's going to change his behavior now? Any ideas?
We seem like we're easy prey, though, I think. Primarily.
So does that mean we all go back to the caravan? Do we leave one going forward to find said follower? What do you suggest?
I'm doing fairly well. Maybe I can stay here stealthily along the fox run while you two guard the caravan.
How far are we out from nightfall?
Significant ways away.
Okay, so you could catch up to the camp by nightfall type thing?
Mm-hmm. But if it runs parallel alongside the caravan...
We should be able to see you at some points.
We'll keep contact.
Do you agree, Nem?
Generally, it's not a good idea to split the party.
right.
Then I would suggest we leave it.
Can't track him right now.
We can't track him.
But we could pay attention to see if he comes back, right?
Well, we can, if we know the road is parallel alongside the wagon route, we can check in with it. Divergent sideways.
I mean, I think we're safe to follow it as long as it's parallel. But if it starts to diverge, then we probably should go back.
Agreed.
So you guys want to follow the fox
trail as long as it's parallel to the road and we can kind of tell where the road is.
Sure, you can use it to catch up with the caravan. It has definitely moved on. You haven't taken that much time. So you move quickly down the fox trail. Hippity hoppity.
Beatrice Potter or Roald Dahl, the Fantastic Mr. Fox. Where are we at?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Hippity hoppity hoppity hippity.
Oh, it's hopping down the bunny trail. I was wondering what I was going on there with my head. You move down the fox run parallel to the caravan and catch up quickly. Eventually, Fifrud notices you and calls out to Arol, concerned that he sees three dark shapes moving along as you've caught up to the lead wagon. And he takes a closer look and then yells out in his Fifrud voice, Torin? Nem?
Yes.
Alin?
It's okay, it's us. I yell back in Dwarvish.
And what does that sound like?
Ich nuch dich.
That's pretty good.
And Fifrud says, Ich nuch dich, Brock, which is high back. And you return to the caravan from the fox trail, which seems to continue for at least a goodly distance off. But of course, you can't see too far in the gloom of the Tanglebriar forest, the underbrush and the heavy bowed trees. You make your way back. And Arwol says, any luck?
We believe that there is an individual trailing the caravan and tracking us.
That doesn't spell too well.
Did you know of this?
No, not a guard.
Okay. We will keep an eye out for signs of this individual as well as other threats.
We're still investigating.
Oh, that's great. Alin, on your way back, you're in the rear of the trio and Peony tugs on the neck of your jerkin. And he says, hold up a second. And he dives down your top.
What the hell? Get the hell out of there.
And he starts fumbling around in your lower back. His little wings are fluttering there. Very erogenous.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No. It's the middle of my back. That's not nothing.
It's nice lower back. Definitely okay. Working around there at your waist.
I take out the tunic. Shake it out. He goes flying with
a green pouch.
No.
I'm just...
fluttering out. And he says, I got you something.
What did you get me?
Yeah, it's this shiny thing. And he proffers to you a hardened, petrified piece of sap that has a tooth in it. And he says, isn't it shiny?
Thank you very much. It's a very lovely present.
You're welcome.
And I take it from him.
Ducks back into your clothes to stay out. I just want to stay out of the rain.
Not in my clothes. On my shoulder. Under my hair.
Okay, climbs up.
Thank you.
Through the front of your shirt.
Oh, okay. He's copping a feel while he's at it. All right, that's fair.
I don't know about that so much, but definitely climbs up and hides in your hair.
Okay.
And you come back to the wagons all untucked, a little disheveled, with a hardened piece of sap with a tooth in it, doubtlessly stolen from Ray's wagon.
Ray's wagon. Yep.
Before we hit the caravan, I discuss with Peony the fact of you should not take pretty shiny things for me. We have to buy these things. This isn't behavior.
What?
That a company has.
What do you mean buy things?
I know. You have to ask me. We'll buy them or trade them or barter for them.
He looks super confused by this.
I know.
He's like, but what about all the other things I got you already?
Well, can you show me the other things that you've got me already?
Sure, I put them in that stupid gnome's wagon.
Okay, well, where are they?
In the cage.
Oh, okay. Let's go to the cage and look, because I didn't notice. I saw hair last time I checked.
You stupid hair. Can't believe I bad barter for that.
We proceed to Findel's wagon to look in the cage.
I do, anyway. Findel's there, and he says, good news. Your healing potions have been finished.
That's fantastic.
And even better news, I see you've taken leave of my wagon finally. If you could remove the rest of your personal effects, I would greatly appreciate that.
What are all of my personal effects?
I've seen far too much of your rather naked frame to give me nightmares for the rest of my life. But nonetheless...
Well, I'm very sorry that you feel that's nightmarish.
It was not required. Or desired. Collect your personal effects. The cage is quite heavy. And tucked within is, in fact, a green belt pouch with two tinkling silver bells.
Alin has gathered up her belongings. She has put the things together. She is now discussed with Peonies. We don't need this cage anymore, do we, Peony? You've been granted freedom to flit around as you so desire. You don't want to make me put you back into this cage, correct?
No. Yes? Wait, what is the right answer to that?
You
want to
go back in the cage?
Do you want me to go in the cage?
I would like you to stop taking things that don't belong to you to give me gifts.
Hey, that's not fair. That didn't belong to nobody.
I'm pretty sure all of
these
things...
None of those things did.
Okay, well, where did you find all of the things?
That one I found on a countertop.
Uh-huh.
Nobody was holding it. No, it wasn't belonging to anybody. And this other thing, I found it on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfectly fine there.
So,
He didn't know it was there.
Are you sure he didn't know it was there?
No. Otherwise, he would have, like, had it on his person.
Mm-hmm. We can't always carry everything on our person.
And that green bag I found on the road.
Did you? How far back on the road did you find it?
What do you mean?
Well, where on the road did you find it?
Like, on top of the road. Like, right close to the middle of the road.
All
right.
Last night? This morning? What time?
Yeah, you people have, like, this weird... thing about time.
All right, you have found this. That's very good of you to pick things up off the ground.
Yep.
I will say that you can continue doing that if it's on the ground.
Good.
Okay.
So if I knock it on the ground, then I can pick it up and it's mine.
No.
I don't understand.
I know. I'm sorry.
These people rules.
I know. Big people rules suck.
Whatever.
Thank you very much for all of the presents. They are fantastic. I appreciate them. And... same good. Thing. If you find anything not on countertops in somebody's wagon that catches your attention, please bring it to me.
Okay.
Okay. Kay.
So what do I get?
What exactly do you want?
You know what I want.
No. No, actually, I don't.
We talked about this.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay.
I said I'd get you, you know, do things for you and you would do things for me.
Okay.
Right?
Then our agreement still stands.
Good.
Okay.
So you'll do the thing now?
Sure.
Cool. And what do?
I sing him a song.
Yeah, that's the stuff. And he, like, his teeny tiny little hand caresses your cheek through the whole song. And then when you finish the song, he's like, that's right. That's right. That's a good song.
I'm glad you enjoyed the song.
Good person. Good dark elf. That was worth all of it. But the bag with the two silver bells is empty.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you've had a look at it, it's pretty muddy and dirty on one side.
I gather the group together to deliberate with them. Well, we do know that Ralph von Worstenshire is the party wagon.
Party wagon.
He got loaded and gambled a lot of money away last night.
And we don't know how much.
No, but Ray,
the tiefling,
said that he lost quite a bit of money.
A pretty penny.
A pretty penny. I'm not sure if there's foul play involved. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think that there's still a chance that there was foul play. But the most important thing to him was the return of
the bag.
The bag, and then finding the person that did it, and then returning the money.
So we've got the bag. So it's part of it.
We can say that we're still looking for the person
that did it, and the money. And the money.
Looks like the bag had been discarded.
Yeah.
Or fallen out of the wagon, or.
Possible, yeah.
Right? Because it's muddy. Obviously, it's been on the ground. It's been rained on.
He will ask how you found it if it was dropped on the ground.
Well, you can obviously see it's been dropped on the ground.
No, I know, but how was it collected without...
How did it get on the ground?
I mean...
Yeah, that idiot guy threw it on the ground.
Oh, did he?
Which idiot guy? Yeah.
The one with all the alcohol?
Oh, why did he throw it on the ground? Was he having a temper tantrum?
I didn't know Peony was there.
He's my companion. He gets to stay on my shoulder.
I didn't know that Peony was at the party wagon at the time.
Well, I wasn't. But Alin was on guard duty, and I was flying back and forth.
And you saw him toss up the bag.
Yeah, that's why I took it. It's pretty, and it tinkles.
I like it too.
It's like worth at least a song.
I gave him a song.
Fucking good song too.
You're not gonna hear it, because all I know right now is church songs, so that's not happening.
Well, it definitely wasn't a church song.
Yeah, I know. So
so when he threw it, did it make any other jingling noises, like there was coins in it?
No.
He threw an empty pouch.
I don't know.
You don't know. It didn't thunk on the ground?
No.
It flattered?
But even though he was inside and he was warm and dry, there was rain coming down his face. And the tiefling was going back to his wagon, and the tiefling was showing all of his teeth and like rubbing his hands together.
So the junk guy was crying.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Water down his face. Okay. So he might have just lost all of his money.
In my culture, we call crying rain of the soul.
All right. So he was having...
Your culture is weird.
He was having intense feelings? Is that your soul?
He's weird. But I do like his alcohol, so as long as you don't mind me partaking.
Do you want to return the pouch to him then?
I could. But you found it.
Peony did.
Can I have some more Brandis?
It is good Brandis.
I will continue to monitor the fox run on the one side of the caravan and walk along that side of the caravan.
Torin, what are you doing?
I will relate these deliberations to Fithrud, wherever he might be.
He's up front with Arul.
And see what his take is on it. And maybe Arul might feel like talking again. I don't know.
We didn't talk to the brothers yet, did we?
No.
I will go to caravan too.
The brothers' wagon?
Yes.
The brothers Karamazov.
That's a good name.
Karamazov?
Yep.
Remember, they're half elves.
And they deal in linen and cloth fabrics. You approach their wagon. Their wagon is very nice. Nothing too fancy. The tarp over the wagon itself is perfectly oiled and inside is warm and dry. One of the brothers is on the wagon front guiding the horses. He's under a tarp as well, so he's out of the rain, and the other brother seems to be within.
I hail the driver and ask whether I can ask him a few questions.
Yeah, you can ask me a few questions. I am Tanis Karamazov.
Tanis, how are you?
Well, I am fine, but a bit cold.
You went to the party wagon last night.
I go to the party wagon most nights.
Yeah, with your brother.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the host was getting particularly drunk last night?
Is that particularly drunk? RVW gets more drunk like every night.
Every night.
He and Ray have contests about the drinking.
And who do you feel won the contest last night?
But Ray always wins the contest.
Ray always wins.
They are very funny together. I think that RVW likes him so much more than Ray does.
RVW likes who more?
Ray.
More than Ray does him.
Yeah, Ray does him. That is a good way of expressing that.
Ray seems like a very likable fellow. That's true.
I like them both very much. I shall continue to make their acquaintance long after this caravan has made its way to Greyhaven. Is that not right, Sturm? And Sturm in the background says, yeah, brother, it's nice and right.
Sturm and Tanis, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that you and your brother had a bit of a disagreement last night.
Last night? Oh, no, it's not us who has disagreement. It was RVW and Ray.
Oh, what were they disagreeing about?
They were disagreeing about the card games they were playing. RVW had lost several hands in a row and decided to make the game a more cumbersome one.
Cumbersome?
Indeed. There was clothes involved. My brother and I took our leave first soon after. It was not our sort of party that night.
Oh, thank you.
No, you are very welcome. This is the first time you have spoken to us, Torin, the handsome guard.
Thank you.
you blush like schoolgirl. It's pretty.
I almost feel as though I should go back and ask Peony if the man with the rain down the face was without clothes, too.
Yeah.
He's not far away.
I take my leave and I go back to deliberate.
Goodbye, my friends.
And in the meantime,
I was just walking along the caravan.
Okay. So I asked the question. Peony, the fellow who had the rain coming down the face, even though he was dry, and the fellow who threw away the lovely bag, the belt pouch, was he without other clothes on?
Yeah. What do you mean by clothes? Like, he didn't wear any leaves.
Didn't wear any leaves. Okay.
All the stupid stuff he was wearing when we just saw him, he wasn't wearing that.
Did you see his skin?
What do you mean, skin?
I'm going to show his shoulder. Like, shoulder.
Yeah, we saw that.
And, like, stomach?
Yeah, stomach. Saw that.
Like, ankle?
Oh, I wasn't looking.
Oh.
So he probably gambled away everything. Everything probably in this belt pouch, all of his clothes.
I'm going to suggest that maybe you go and talk to RVW.
I give you the pouch.
You're not there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not. Sorry.
You're already.
You're she's actually already talking.
Damn it.
RVW.
I've got the pouch.
So while this conversation is happening, Nem.
Yes.
Knocks on the door of RVW's wagon and like, come in.
Hello.
Oh.
Greetings, like, RVW.
Please don't call me that.
Ralph.
That would be fine. Or Viscount von Worcestershire would be fine as well. I wasn't expecting guests again so soon, but I'm glad you're here because I have this really nice decanter and I wanted to share it with someone special maybe.
I am special. My mother told me so.
Right. Well, okay. Sure.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I don't really know about your mother
and
at all.
And I push the, like in my culture, when you are returning a lost item, you present it in your hands, like directly into their face.
Okay.
Awkwardly.
His eyes have been largely closed and he's like holding this decanter that doesn't have any liquid in it. And his eyes open and he's like, you found it? Oh my God. And he throws his arms around you. And gives you this really big hug that maybe lasts a little too long and becomes more of a, like, a I'm so sad hug.
Where I'm from, when that happens, you boop people on the nose. Boop, to cheer them up.
It doesn't seem to work.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what I do to cheer people up where I'm from.
What?
You seem sad.
How dare you? I'm a nobleman. I'm never sad.
So we didn't find any money in here and...
What? Where did all the money go?
I don't know. We're still looking for the thief, but it was found on the road. As you can see, it's dirty on one side. And
fine.
It was found. But hey, you've got your pouch back with the tinkle bells. And I tinkle one of the bells. Tinkle.
From my wife.
Right.
He looks disconsolate about that.
Tinkle.
Give me an insight check.
Sure. Because I'm super good at that. 7.
Yeah, you have no idea. You don't really care about his how he's feeling in the moment. All right, will you take your leave or is there anything else you wanted to talk to him about?
Well, I'm still up for a drink if you want one. If not, I'll leave you alone.
Fine. Sure. He goes to pour from the empty decanter and then realizes it's empty and he collapses into his beanbag chair, holding his green belt pouch, trying to wipe the mud off of it and does not seem to offer you another beverage.
Right, well, I can see you want to be left alone and I just leave.
And you return to... Yeah. These two who are having a conversation with Peony.
Well, that was full of awkwardness.
Oh, what happened?
He seems super sad. Mm. I tried to boop his nose and everything. And you know that I've done this to you before.
And it didn't work? The boop didn't work?
The boop did not work.
What?
I know. I was shocked.
He seems an awkward fellow. Did you know that he lost a lot of his clothes last night to gambling?
You can lose your clothes to gambling?
Yep. Apparently things got cumbersome from the gambling and they decided to...
Wow, you guys play games a lot more seriously than I've ever seen.
Us guys?
Well, people that live in the Greenwald, you can lose all of your clothes gambling. Wow, that's for keeps. What if you were cold after?
And sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes Tavern Tales Presents Dungeon in a Box. Find out more about Dungeon in a Box at www.dungeoninabox.com. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. Find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or on their website, www.badbillyband.com, or follow them on Twitter, @BadBillyBand. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes, or to find us on Twitter @Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.